Hello, 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 everyone, and welcome back to Vulnerable Moments with Joe, where it's real, it's raw, and it's relatable every single time, every single episode. I'm your host, Joycelyn Obenshala, and this is part 3 of episode 1 titled My Biggest Failure. First off, I just want to say a huge thank you to everyone who has listened to the podcast so far, to everyone who has liked the podcast, to everyone who has rated on iTunes, subscribed on iTunes, to everyone who has reposted on their Insta story, shared with a friend, shared with a coworker, to everyone who has DM'd me or texted me, just giving me their feedback and their response. I'm truly, truly, truly humbled by the responses that I've been receiving from everyone. Thank you so much. I'm so encouraged to just continue in vulnerability and to continue in authenticity and to continue to just be real and raw in hopes that others will be encouraged to do the same as well. So we're just going to pick up where we left off in episode 1, part 2. And just jump right in. So in the previous episode, I talk about how I share with those closely associated with me that I failed out of school. And I also just explain everyone's response. So after, you know, I told my parents, told my family, told my friends and my then mentor, to be honest, life just went on, like life continued. And that's not to say that everything was perfect, because it wasn't at all, actually. There were days where I still felt like a failure. I still felt very much ashamed of my mistake. I was still hiding. Although the Lord was still saying that there's therefore now no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, that I'm seated with Christ in heavenly places, that I am the head and not the tail, that I am above and not beneath. It was hard to really believe them, because my circumstances were telling me otherwise. My circumstances were telling me that you failed, so therefore you are a failure. And it was really, really, really hard for me to just believe. Like, it was so hard for me to believe that God's promises over my life were true, that they were yes and amen, because I felt like I had ruined everything, not knowing that I don't have the power to ruin my life. Like, I don't have the power or the authority to thwart the promises of God over my life. Like, if God has spoken something over my life, then it's going to happen. But of course, the enemy was using the situation and all these different thoughts and lies to really cause me to hide, to go into a cave and just hide. But I really thank God for my parents. I really thank God for my parents, because they did not allow me to give up on myself. I wanted to just take on a full-time job for the whole year that I would be out of the university that I was attending. I wanted to take on a full-time job, but my parents were like, no, you're going to enroll in community college, like any typical, you know, Nigerian parent would. And I remember one thing my father said. He said that he didn't look at this as failure, that failure is when you give up, is when you refuse to persist, is when you refuse to keep going despite difficulty, despite opposition. That's failure, is when you just throw in the towel. And he didn't allow me to throw in the towel. He pushed me, and he challenged me to just continue regardless. And that was a push that I needed, because I felt so knocked down. Like, that letter, receiving that letter that day really just knocked me down. I'm even thinking of when you go bowling and you have to use the ball. I don't know if there's a specific word it's called, but you use the ball to knock down the pin. Like, that's how I felt. Like, I felt like I was the pin, and that the letter and my failure knocked me down and I couldn't get back up. But my parents really pushed me in a very interesting but still loving way. They pushed me to just continue and to continue to persevere. And I really thank God for that. But like I said, life wasn't always perfect after I told them. My parents made comment, well, more specifically, my mother would make comments on, you know, my friends graduating before me and how, like, I should be well further along in my academic journey, and I'm not. And just just the whole comparison thing, like it was hard, but I really had to be adamant and put my foot down and say, no, I'm not going to compare myself to another person. I'm not going to compare my journey and my life to another person, because first, I was made beyond compare. I just can't do myself a disservice and compare myself. And even the Bible says, and I believe 2 Corinthians 10:12, that those who compare themselves amongst themselves, it's considered to be unwise. It's ignorant. It's ignorant. And so I couldn't, I really had to be persistent in not choosing, because it's a choice to not compare myself. It was very hard, especially when I was hearing so many people were saying, oh, this person is doing this and you're right here. This person is has graduated and you're right here. I've graduated high school with a lot of my friends. We went into college together, and they're further along. They've graduated they've graduated with their undergraduate degree, and they're now onto bigger and better things. And I'm still trying to obtain my first degree. And it makes me feel like, sometimes if I'm honest, it makes me feel like I'm in last place. It makes me feel like, dang, like, I really messed up. Like, I really messed up. If only. But I really had to encourage myself in the Lord. And it took the word of God, like constantly just digesting and eating and meditating on the word of God to really, to just not compare myself and to not look at everyone's lives. And I remember going into graduation season. My expected graduation date was May 2018. And I remember distinctively going into that graduation season, knowing that I would see so many different friends and so many different people that I went into college with walk the stage. I knew that I was going to be invited to a lot of graduation parties. I knew that I was going to attend a lot of graduation parties. And I told the Lord, and I said, God, I need you to help me to not be jealous and to not look at other people, my friends, these people that I really love and that I'm so happy for. I need you to help me to not have an envious spirit towards them. I need you to help me to not covet their accomplishments. I need you to help me to have a pure heart towards them. And even as your word says that we should rejoice with those who rejoice, help me to have a rejoicing heart towards them. I want to celebrate them, because getting your degree isn't easy. It's not easy for anyone. I was so intentional about keeping a clear heart and a clear mind towards my friends that would be graduating during the time that I was supposed to be graduating as well. I really wanted to support. I really wanted to show up and just be there, be excited, thrilled, scream their names in the audience. Like, I wanted to be there for them and support them. And by the grace of God, like, I was able to be there. I was able to cheer them on. I was able to go to those graduation parties and just support them. But then every single time, like, I would do that, I would come home to, oh, you're going to someone else's graduation party when you're supposed to be having your own. Like, that is what I would come home to. And it would make me feel ashamed, or it would make me feel like I'm even wrong for wanting to celebrate others. Even though I knew in my heart that what I was doing was good, what I was doing was a good thing, it was a noble thing, but there were still, you know, feelings of just inadequacy and not measuring up, and it really took a toll on me. And so I continued in hiding. I continued in keeping a very, very low radar, because I didn't want to be exposed. I didn't want people to find out about me. I didn't want people to find out that I had failed out of school, especially because getting a degree is a thing that is very much celebrated, as it should be. But I didn't want to like put myself in a position to feel less than, or to feel like I was coming in last place. It was so hard just trying to maneuver through that season. And I'm just going to say it, okay? I'm just going to say that I was at Bowie State University. I'm just going to say it. I don't want to say that it's classified as like a low ranking school. I don't think that it is. I think there was a little bit of shame. If I say the school that I failed out of, people are really going to think that I'm stupid or that I'm dumb. It's just like, wait, you failed out of Bowie? But honestly, when I think about it now, I'm even glad that it was at a school such as Bowie State and not like a an Ivy League or anything like that. And it's funny because I really, really, really wanted to go to Spelman College for undergrad. Spelman was my number one top school. I was so ready to just move out of state, go to Atlanta, Georgia, and just to pursue my academic journey at Spelman College. I thought that it was perfect for me, but I applied, I got waitlisted, and I didn't get in. So there were other options that, there were other schools that I got into, but Bowie was the only option that, I don't know, it just made sense at the time. So, yep, I failed out of Bowie State. So now y'all know. And honestly, yeah, I just don't care anymore. We're going to be faithful and loyal to the brand of this podcast and really keep it real and keep it raw and just be honest. So from August 2017 to spring 2019, so two academic school years, I was at a community college. At this community college, my major was BIS, and that was the major that I had at Bowie State. And I think I mentioned in my first, in episode one, part one, that I came into college undecided. But I ended up later on declaring English as a major. My parents weren't having it. They were like, no, what are you going to do with English? Everyone knows how to speak English. What are you going to do with this major? And I didn't really have like a clear answer to give to them at that time. All I knew was that I loved to read and that I loved to write. And I just declared English as a major. But they were like, no, you need to pursue a major that is substantial, something that can actually serve you. And of course, biology was the major that they wanted me to pursue. But I'm not like into science. Like, I'm just not a science person. So that just was not going to happen. Like, it was not going to happen at all. But my parents were insisting on me to declare biology as a major. And there would be times where I would really be on the verge of trying to appease my parents and just go ahead and declare the major just so that they can be happy, just so that they can be satisfied. But I knew that in them being satisfied, that I would be miserable. And in me pursuing biology as my major, I would be miserable and I wouldn't enjoy the major. I wouldn't enjoy pursuing the major. And I'm the type of person who needs to be passionate about what she's doing in order to thrive and in order to succeed in that specific field. So if I'm not passionate about it, if I don't like it, if I don't enjoy it, then I'm not going to do well in it. So when I went to community college, the major that I had at Bowie followed me to PG, which is the community college that I was attending. And while I was at PG, I was so ashamed. I felt like I was just starting my life all over again. I felt like, I don't know, I was still so ashamed of my failures. I did not talk to anyone. I did not converse with anyone. It was just like, okay, let me go to class and go home. Don't talk to me. Don't look at me. Let me just do what I need to do so that I can get out of here. And it was a very, very tough season for my life because I was still dealing with just thoughts of feeling inadequate and insecure and not measuring up. And I was dealing with a lot of stuff at home and feeling like I needed to prove that I was a good daughter to my parents again. So my identity quickly became absorbed in being a daughter to them. So I found myself just overly trying to impress them and just cooking and cleaning and just taking care of the house and things like that, just being a good daughter. And they were happy with that, but I was miserable. And I didn't even know at the time that I was actually in a lot of bondage. I didn't know that my identity was just all over the place. Like I was literally dealing with identity crisis. It was like I had forgotten who I was. Like I'd forgotten that I was a son of God. I'd forgotten that, that the Lord set me apart, that the Lord had called me. I'd forgotten everything that the Lord had told me and that he had instilled inside of me. Because all I could see was my failure. All I could see was my shame. All I could see was my pain. Throughout my 2 years at the community college that I was attending, I learned so much. I've learned so much. I have countless of lessons that I've learned, and I can honestly write a book on them because it's just too much. Like I've learned so many different things about myself, about people, about family, about community, about God, and of course about the enemy as well. I've learned a lot. And even especially about my purpose, So the first 3 semesters at PG, I didn't do too well. I remember the first semester that I started PG, after I had failed out of Bowie. It was bad. I think I passed 2 classes and I failed like 1 class. I think I took 3 classes that first semester because I wanted to take classes that would be able to transfer back over to Bowie. So I was very limited in the amount of classes that I could take per semester. So I took 3 classes the first semester that I was at PG. I passed 2 classes and I failed 1. And I mean, just off of that 1 class that I failed, like I still felt like a failure. It kind of like delved me deeper into this emotion of just feeling like I am a failure, feeling like I can't do anything right. Why do I keep failing? It just felt like a continuous cycle. And second semester, I had like a really low grade in the class. Third semester, I didn't fail a class, but I got like a C and a D in those classes. So I still passed, but barely. And I just felt like I was in a cycle. And it was like, okay, like something's got to give, something's going on. And right now, it's more than just what I'm seeing with my physical eyes. It's spiritual. Like the enemy is fighting me. When I say the enemy is fighting me, this is not me just putting all the blame on the enemy, because I knew that, you know, me failing out of school was a mistake that I made myself. And so I had to take ownership and admit to the fact that this is something that I did. And I knew that I was going to suffer the consequences of this mistake. And one of those consequences would be me graduating later than my expected graduation date. At this point, it felt like it was more than just me. It felt like the enemy was using my failures to attack me. And he was using my mistakes and my mishap and my circumstances to really show me that I was purposeless, that I was a failure, that I keep making the same mistake, that I'm never going to get it right, that I'm never going to graduate, that I'm never going to actually obtain a 4.0 because I've never gotten a 4.0 ever in my whole entire like academic career. And then I realized that, no, this is spiritual. This is a battle. Like there's some stuff going on in the realm of the spirit. Okay. Like it's more than just what I'm seeing with my physical eyes. And so, my parents were upset and they were like, something's got to give. Like, what's going on? This isn't normal. This isn't okay. And they also agreed and they were like, okay, this is spiritual. Like, so we had to fight this thing from a spiritual standpoint. And I remember I had a conversation with my mother and I was just telling her like, yeah, I think this is a generational curse because, oh my gosh, I'm crying. Because my mother didn't get her degree and, oh my gosh, my grandmother didn't either. My grandmother only received a third grade education. And of course, she lived in Nigeria her whole entire life. And she couldn't go past that level. Like, that was the level that she stayed at. Doesn't know how to read, or she doesn't know how to write or anything like that. And all her life, she was a house girl. She was a house girl in Nigeria. And so when my mother came to America, she advanced well beyond her mother, praise God. But she still didn't obtain her first degree. And I'm the first daughter of my mother. My mother is the first daughter of her mother as well. And I mean, I just began to put two and two together, and I was like, nah, the enemy is trying to continue this cycle in my bloodline. And I remember having a conversation with my mom, and I was telling her, like, yes, I think it's a generational curse. And she said, okay, well, if it's a generational curse, then you have to be the one to break it. And she was right. Like, she was completely right. It just didn't make sense how, even after I had received that letter, that I was still failing, that there was still a pattern going on. Like, it just didn't make any sense. And then we came to terms and realized that, nah, this is spiritual. This is a battle that you have to fight. And it's more than just flesh and blood, baby girl. Like, it's more than just flesh and blood that you're warring against. It's so much more than that. And I know for a fact that my degrees, because I'm not stopping at undergrad, is literally such a big deal. It's so huge. So huge. And I don't know. I mean, I don't know. I know that I have to be the one to break it, and I'm going to be. I will, by the grace of God. It's not easy. Breaking generational curses aren't easy. But it has to be done if you want to put an end to the cycle and the pattern that has been happening in your bloodline from previous generations. Like, you have to be the one to just put your foot down and say, no, this thing ends with me. It has to end with me. Like, that's that. Like, it has to end with me. And I know that, like, a part of my purpose and a part of what the Lord has called me to do is to be one who to break generational curses within my family. And that's why I'm so big on my purpose. I'm so big on really pursuing the call of God upon my life, because I know where I come from. I know my family background. My family isn't perfect. I'm not perfect, but I serve a perfect God, and God is the vindicator of my soul. And by the grace of God, I will be reattending Bowie State University this fall 2019 to finish off my degree in mass communications with a concentration in emerging media. And I am so excited to just go back and to be a student again. Not to say that I wasn't a student for those 2 years that I wasn't at Bowie, but just to really take on classes full time, to really just go in with like a completely different mindset, a completely different mentality, knowing exactly what I want to do and just pursuing it and not allowing anything to stand in my way. My mindset is completely different than it was when I first went into college back in 2014. It's so different. I've changed so much. I am so for higher education now. Back then I wasn't, because honestly, like, I was going to drop out. Like, I was going to drop out. But I know that, like, for me, that is actually not an option. Absolutely not. Like, that is not an option for me. Education is so important, and it's so important to my calling and to my purpose. And your girl is getting her degrees, okay? Like, we're not stopping at undergrad. I'm going for my master's. I'm going for my PhD, because in my mind, why settle for less when there's more? Like, why settle for just getting my undergrad when I can get my master's? And why settle for just getting my master's when I can get my PhD? And so I'm aiming for the highest level of education that is available. I'm not stopping at, if it's accessible to me, then why not pursue it? My undergraduate degree, no matter how long it takes, I'm going to get it. And I'm so humbled by this journey. The Lord has taught me so much about myself. He's taught me so much about himself as well. And I've grown so much. I've grown exponentially. I've grown in ways that I didn't even think possible. I mean, I look in retrospect and I'm like, dang, like, I'm not the same person that I was 2 years ago. I have so much more confidence, so much more strength. I'm so humbled. I'm so encouraged to just continue and to pursue my purpose with such fervency, with such passion, with such boldness, because I know that the enemy is upset, but it doesn't really matter. The major that I'm pursuing now is something that I actually had to realize. Fumbling through majors, trying to figure out what to pursue, when it was mass communications this whole entire time. And I think for a long time, people assumed that my major was communications initially, like years prior to even me failing out of school. But I would always tell them, like, no, like, why would it be communications? And I think it's because I belittled the major, honestly. If I'm honest, I think I belittled it. And I didn't think that it was something that was substantial. I didn't think that it was a major that would take me to where I need to be in life. But come to find out that mass communications is exactly my field and is exactly where the Lord has placed me. It just makes sense. Like, it just makes sense. So I'm excited to return back to school. I'm so excited. So, so, so excited. Oh my goodness. It's a huge testimony, like a huge, huge testimony. I look back and I think of the psalm that David said in Psalm 119, verse 71, that says, "My suffering was good for me because it taught me to pay attention to your decrees." And I remember the first time I read that scripture. And I mean, I was in tears because I was like, this is literally how I feel. Everything that I've went through regarding school alone, was good for me. Like, me failing out of school was good for me because it taught me so much. It drew me closer to you. It drew me closer to the Lord. It ignited a fight inside of me. And so now I have this fight, this passion to really pursue my purpose and to not give the enemy a foothold in my life and to really just go after the call of God that's upon my life. My suffering was good for me because it taught me something. And I think that suffering is good when it teaches you something. I think that the things that you go through in life are supposed to teach you something. You're supposed to come out of a situation or a failure or a heartbreak or whatever circumstance you go through in life, like, you're supposed to come out of it stronger, wiser, better, more resilient than ever before. And that's how you know that what you went through was good, that it wasn't, that although it didn't look good in the spur of the moment, that it actually in turn turned out for your good. And so I think of the scripture that says that God will make all things work together for the good of those who love him. And all things includes even the bad, even your failures, even your mistakes, even your heartbreaks, even the things that you've done in the past. Like, somehow in some beautiful way, in some beautiful and mysterious way, he takes the good, the bad, and the ugly, and he just turns everything around for your good and for his glory. And that's literally what it's about. And I see what God is doing in my life, that he's taking my ashes and giving me so much beauty in return. I don't even know how to express my gratitude to him. I'm forever indebted to him. I'm so in love with him. I don't trade my relationship with the Lord, and I wouldn't trade my relationship with the Lord for anything in this world. I don't know how to end this. I don't know how to end this, but just know that God is good and every single thing that he does is good. Even though it looks bad, it's good. And that your suffering will turn out for your good. And it will teach you something. It will teach you something. There are lessons to learn in our mistakes. There are lessons to learn in our sins. There are lessons to learn in our circumstances and the things that we go through in life. They teach us something, and they're supposed to draw us closer to the Lord. And if one thing, I will say that this whole situation, me failing out of school, has really drawn me closer to God like never before. It has really ignited a fiery passion inside of me. And I think I'll end there. So thank you so much, everyone, for sticking with me and for listening to episode 1, part 1, 2, and 3 of My Biggest Failure. As always, make sure you like, comment, rate, subscribe, share with a friend, share with a coworker, share with your sister, your auntie, your brother, your cousin. Share. And also, I would love to hear your feedback. You can follow the personal page at VM with Joe on Instagram, and my personal page as well at Joycelyn Ogunshala. Thank you so much, and I'll see you in the next episode. Toodles.